Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is an historic week in the annals of U.S. public health. Thousands of healthcare workers and first responders have received the first half of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. America is far from the end of this pandemic, but this week may be the light at the end of a very long tunnel. And tonight we talk to a few people who have received the vaccine, and we're going to see how they're doing. My guests are Anita Jenkins, CEO of Howard University Hospital, and Roy Dunlap, Director of Environmental Services at Howard University Hospital. Lines are open. I want to hear from our listeners tonight as well what you think about what's happening this week as it relates to this COVID-19 vaccine. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Anita, how are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you very much. So happy to be a part of this historic moment, as you put it. And I'm so thankful. Thank you very much for allowing us to come on board and really tell the truth about the COVID-19 vaccine, which really is the safest weapon that we have to conquer this very, very bad pandemic.
And Mr. Dunlap, how are you? Thanks for joining the program.
I'm very well, very well. Feeling good, feeling strong, feeling happy to lead the way, following Ms. CEO Jenkins' footsteps.
I am so glad to hear that. I wanted to say personally that I am very proud of both of you.
Thank you. That you are
in the process of saving lives and, to be quite honest, saving America. I want to start with you, Anita, real quick.
Sure.
Talk to me about getting that shot. What was going through your mind when you were in the process of getting that injection?
So I think what was going through my mind started February 17th, when I came to Howard University Hospital and got to know the people. And then very quickly, the COVID crisis started. And we watched so many people across the United States and in our hospital suffer and some die. What went through my mind at that point was just a few weeks ago, we had a special memorial service for the workers at Howard University Hospital who had died from COVID. Mm. What went through my mind was our future. We're losing a battle against COVID-19. More deaths every day, more deaths every day. And this is a real weapon that will stop it. And when I got ready to get that shot, I felt this is what I can do. There were nurses that were afraid or workers that were afraid and said, well, if you do it, I'll do it. So I was like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for our future. I'm doing it for you.
I remember watching you go through this process, and it seemed as if you had a bit of a moment, an emotional moment. Why?
You know, all of this time, I started my career as a respiratory therapist, so I understand what goes on in an ICU. But so many times I have seen the fears of our team members, our EVS workers, our nurses, our physicians. They are tired. They are anxious. I know how much I want to see my children. I want to hug my grandchild, you know? I want to see my aunties. I have aunties, but I want to make sure that they stay alive. And I just felt so hopeful and so happy and so full of just a future, because now we have this weapon that will work. And so that's what I felt. I just felt the future.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dunlap, you are in charge of environmental services. You and your staff are responsible for making sure that the hospital is not just clean, but sanitized. Did you ever think that you would be in this situation right now, kind of you know, setting the example, not only for your staff, but you're also a family man.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, you know, like I said, I followed when Ms. Jenkins made the announcement 2 weeks ago that she's going to take it. Right then and there, I made up my mind to say I'm going to take it right behind her. And like you said, I wanted to be the lead to show my staff that, yes, hey, this thing is safe. This is a process. There's nothing to be afraid of. Also, too, I wanted to be an example to my community, you know, saying people are a reflection of me, you know, saying the Latino and the Black community as well. So, you know, props to Ms. Jenkins for giving me that motivation and the courage to take the test.
Anita, talk to me about before going through the process. I mean, did you have to go through any training? I mean, it looked like a flu shot to me or any other kind of injection that someone might get. What was different,
you know,
about this?
Sure, I appreciate that. You know, part of this is really reading, really, you know, really getting all of the information that you can about the vaccine. You know, what size needle, how much fluid, you really can find all of these things. What's it made of, and how's it behave in your body? I don't know those things. I'm not a scientist, but boy, we have lots and lots of scientists, both on campus at Howard University and, of course, throughout our nation, who really can explain this in terms that I could understand, right? And the more I knew, the safer I felt. And then the more determined I was, as my Black and brown brothers and sisters are, there's just so many that are concerned because there's, you know, there's bad history, and then there's even more misinformation.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, as I looked at it, I was like, I'm ready. I knew I was ready because, you know, I heard enough. I know what I'm getting into.
But what I was asking was this any different than getting a flu shot or any other kind of injection? Did you have to do anything?
Oh, my gosh.
Different?
No, yeah. No. Oh, the mechanics of it was completely fine. Yes, I got a shot just like, in fact, no shade to our employee health people. That that COVID shot was easier than the flu shot.
Yeah,
I took in the fall.
True, definitely true.
I almost didn't even feel it. But then I also studied up on now. I studied up on what happens to you afterwards. You do have the chance of having a little bit of aches, a little bit of fever, and a little bit of fatigue, and then of course a sore spot on your arm. I have had none of those things, and the sore spot went away with the Tylenol that I took the day I got it.
Hmm. Now, what about you, Mr. Dunlap? What was your experience with it? And before our little technical snafu there, I did want to know what kind of conversation you had with your family once you told them that this was you were going to do this.
Yeah. So really, I just felt a little sore. And instead of sleeping on my right side, I slept on my left side.
Mm-hmm.
And was gone the next day. And back to my family, like I said, we usually have a dinner together and everything. We discuss things. And I told my wife the day before, you know, my son, of course, looked at me with his eyebrows raised because he knows that that when I say something sometimes and cause him to raise his eyebrows. And my wife says to me, why did God be you? Why do you have to do it? Why can't you wait till somebody else take it? And, you know, your family needs you. It's well, something happens to you.
Wow.
And who's going to take care of us? And, you know, I explained to my wife, as a leader, you have to lead. You got to lead by example. This is my job. And I want to lead example, not just for my staff, but to, you know, say for people of color, people Latinos, for Blacks, to make them understand the process that this is the we have to do to fight the COVID-19. And we got to begin the process to fight the COVID-19.
I just want to say to you, you know, Mr. Dunlap, again, I am, you know, proud to have you as, you know, part of this, you know, Howard University family. You know, certainly, you know, as a father, as a member of our family, as, you know, as a husband, and, you know, as a brother who is trying to, you know, save the world one person at a time. So much respect for what you are what you've done this week and will do in about 20 days or so. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. We want you to continue to be well and be on the job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the COVID-19 vaccine. We're talking to people who have received the vaccine this week, how they're doing, their thoughts about it. And if you have a comment or you have a question, and certainly, you know, our listening community has had a lot of questions about the vaccine, we invite you to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. I want to ask you, Anita, one of the things that, you know, Mr. Dunlap spoke about and that we've been hearing a lot about are the questions about just how Black and brown people feel about this process. It really is a catch-22 because of our history with medical issues in this country. But also the reality is that if Black and brown people do not participate in this process, you know, down the road, you know, we could have said, well, nobody asked us. Talk to me a little bit about that. Anita, can you hear me?
I was still on mute. So let's just talk about this. Black and brown people have a lot of history, and they have a legitimate reason to mistrust things like new research, things like new items, those kinds of things, even more than the average citizen. I can't tell you how much I had to explain in my first leadership meeting, and I started telling them, I'm going to take it. We were in a Zoom room, and on the Zoom chat, they said, but what about Tuskegee? Mm. What about Tuskegee? And I said, that's fair. What about Tuskegee? Mm-hmm. The difference to me is that this is a worldwide pandemic, and the vaccine is a worldwide cure. This is not another American example of abuse toward people of color. It just isn't. And so when we sat down, I sat down with my family too, only I have, my husband and I have adult children, and we talked, and I said, when it comes, I said, I'm going to take that, I'm going to take the vaccine. My oldest daughter said, but Mom, what if something happens to you? Just like you, Mr. Dunlap. But my second daughter is a physician. And she said, good for you, Mom. And then she started spewing the facts. And so she reinforced what I thought I knew. They live out of town, so we have Zoom calls. And they live in Ohio, where, and, you know, she said, if I could take it today, I would. And so when you start having conversations of reality, this is the science, and this is really what's going on in our world, versus pure fear. How could you trust? I'm going to tell you something. I put it on Facebook, and because I want to share, not to do anything but brag. I want somebody to change their mind and take the vaccine if they see that I'm okay. And I had a friend of my brother-in-law, as a matter of fact, tell me that I sold out my community.
Wow.
Trusting in medical science in America. And I have to just say, if those are his feelings, those are his feelings. But I said to him, I said, you can think that. I said, or you can watch people who have taken the vaccine. After the first vaccine, you're 50% protected. After that second vaccine, you're 95% protected. I said, I am telling you, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect my family. I'm trying to protect our community. And he said, okay, Queen.
Yes.
He said, okay, Queen. So you can't just say, oh, you're insane, you know, or you're insulting. You know, any of those things won't help us just relax and tell the truth. People just are genuinely afraid. And so we just have to keep telling the facts. We just have to keep saying, well, I'm supporting you. I'm in it to keep keep winning the battle. We're losing 4,000 people a day. We're losing. It keeps spreading. California has no ICU beds. This is a cure. Just like when I was growing up, there were people in braces and wheelchairs and iron lungs until the polio vaccine came along. And you do not see polio right now in the United States. You don't see it.
Yeah, that's a really, really important point. And I appreciate you bringing up, you know, the history that needs to be considered when we look at where we are right now with this pandemic. We are still in a really difficult place. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Walter calling from Northeast DC. We're going to talk to Brian calling from Silver Spring. And we're also going to talk to DC Fire Lieutenant Keisha Jackson. She also received a COVID-19, the first half of the vaccine today. She has a really interesting story, a very inspirational story, and I really am excited to have her on the program. Stay with us, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. We are talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine going out to first responders and healthcare workers across this nation. My guests are Anita Jenkins, CEO of Howard University Hospital, and now joining us, DC Fire Lieutenant Keisha Jackson. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go to Lieutenant Jackson, I wanted to take a phone call. Let us first talk to Brian calling from Silver Spring. Brian, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I just wanted to call because it's amazing the way that information gets disseminated to especially our inner city people. A lot of people are talking to some of these healthcare workers and telling them they shouldn't take the virus. I mean, not shouldn't take their vaccine. But these are the people that are helping keep all of us safe. They have already been taking a chance by dealing with COVID-19 on a very close basis. So what's worse, working in conjunction right beside people who have coronavirus or taking a vaccine that might help them be able to continue to do what they're doing to help the community? So I know there's a lot of history of bad blood with conspiracy theories and things of that nature. But if I broke my leg today and got sent to the hospital, I'm not going to probably ask them what they're putting in my drip. Anytime somebody in my family or anybody that I know goes to the hospital, they take whatever's given to them. There's no question. So we have a lot of information now. A lot is coming out about this vaccine. People should be a little more hesitant to go against people that are taking it, especially if they are the healthcare workers that are going to help you in case you get sick.
Brian, thank you so much for your comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Walter calling from Northeast DC. Thanks for calling, Walter. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you and good evening to everybody. I have a problem with this because remember when President Trump said, well, why don't we put bleach and disinfect it in, inject it, and see what happened? And you remember how Dr. Birx looked at him and, like, he's serious? And remember he said it was just sarcastic. Well, I would love to see him take the shot first and see how he feels and how this Operation Warp Speed was his idea. And let's see how he get a dose of his own medicine. That's all I got to say, and thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Walter, thank you so much. And I just wanted to say I can't speak about what President Trump is going to do, but we do know that Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton will be taking the shots. And when you talk about presidential muscle, that's good enough for me. Let me go to Lieutenant Keisha Jackson. Lieutenant Jackson, thanks for joining the conversation. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I just want to say, just as I said to Anita Jenkins and also, you know, Mr. Dunlap, I'm very proud of you personally. And you have spent your career in the life-saving business in, you know, the fire service. And I would argue this is just an extension in the life-saving business for you. Can you talk to me about the process of deciding to do this?
You definitely took the words out of my mouth as far as saying it's an extension of what I do. I love my job. I love being a part of the D.C. Fire Department. It was either this or law enforcement when I made that decision a long time ago, and D.C. Fire happened to get me first. So I love people in general. That's just my heart. I've always been that way. So I look at deciding to get the vaccination it's an extension of that. You know, it's an extension of me and who I am. Again, the process was hard. It's no way I can sit up here again and say, okay, I'm going to be the first. When we first talked about, you know, when social media and the news and everyone first talked about a vaccination coming out, again, I was that one who was against it because of the historical data, because of what we've been through and things that we've bared and challenges that, you know, our people have gone through. Yeah. So I was very against it. And again, I'm just being honest. So I was not the happy person, but having situations in your life that hit close to home made a huge difference in my life. And deciding, okay, you have to be better. You have to try to educate yourself. You have to try to educate others. There are a lot of bad myths. As far as our people are concerned, and that's really sad because a lot of things are hidden in books, and then sometimes we just go off of what we see and hear. As you just said, okay, it's, you know, take this medication, do this, do that. But we also have to educate ourselves, and I knew I needed to make a change and do some things different for my family. So that was definitely my choice, having my best friend get sick in the way that she did made a huge impact upon me. And I knew after that, I definitely needed to make a change to protect my dad. It wasn't about just making sure I, again, wash my hands and I'm wearing my mask all the time. It was thinking about my dad. And I knew how deathly afraid he was of getting sick. You know, I know I've done everything, but that's not promised to me. And I can't rely on that. If it's a little bit more than I can do, then I made a decision. I said, I've got to get this vaccination. Is it COVID death or, you know, having somebody die that's close to me, or is it just dealing with a few side effects?
Yes.
That was my decision.
You said today that you did not get the kind of support that you had hoped for from your colleagues. That surprised you?
It did. But, again, I have to understand that all people, not just my department, but everyone is going to be skeptical of the vaccination. I understand that. It's just something that I dealt with and am dealing with, but I can't dwell on it because I know once they see all the positiveness that everyone is doing, especially I love seeing walking outside of Kaiser and seeing so many of my coworkers. You know, in the beginning, everyone has that apprehension, but as soon as I left out of Kaiser and I looked out to the street, it was overwhelming. And I knew just from these few days that things had changed. And that was awesome. It was such, I can't even explain it. Like, I'm getting it. I had so many phone calls and texts from coworkers just after that. Like, I've made a change. Like, I'm getting it. I'm doing it for my family. And I understand more now. I get it. Like, I see someone of, you know, my own who has been a lifelong coworker or, you know, friend, I'm getting it. So that made my day. It just made everything so much better.
You know, I sit here and I'm listening to you, and as a person who, was born in D.C. and I've seen you in the press conferences, and I have to say that this is the kind of person that I believe is so representative of an employee of the District of Columbia.
You bet.
I mean, that's, it is an emotional thing, for me, and just to listen to your honesty, your transparency, but also your strength.
Yes.
Because, let us be clear, and particularly with, when we talk about first responders, but just like firefighters, you folks run in the direction that everybody else is running away from.
Yes,
okay. And as I said, this, for so many people, you are now running in the direction of this vaccine that some people in our community are running away from.
Yeah.
And I think this is the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I feel. It's just the unknown. My daughter is she is also in the medical field. She's an EMT. She's going for her nursing. But her first thing was, "Mom, no, I don't want, just worry." I'm like, "Baby, we got to do things better. We have to do things better." She has a daughter, a five-year-old daughter. So it's not, you're doing it for your community, your coworkers, but I also want to set a good example for her. Definitely if she's going to be in this field, it's going to be some hard decisions that she may have to make. So if I can still, give her what she needs by showing her that it's okay to step out on faith. You know, you have to be a leader, especially when it's affecting. This pandemic is a monster.
It's horrible.
It's devastating. And, again, that was another thing that made me say, okay, we got to do better. We have to do better. We have to do better.
Yeah.
These numbers are just unbelievable. So, I thank you for your words of encouragement. And, it means a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. Anita, I want to talk a little bit about the process.
Sure.
Howard University received, 725 doses? So does that mean that in 18 or 19 days there's going to be another shipment of 725 doses? Or how does that work? And how did you determine who got what at the hospital?
Sure. So first of all, a few weeks back, maybe a month back, I received an email and said, would you be willing to be one of the hub hospitals? So that means we would have the ultra freezer, and we would hold some of the vaccines for someone else. St. Elizabeth is the partner hospital for us, those kinds of things. And I'm like, oh, of course. And then it was, we have no idea how many you're going to get. It should come on or around Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of this week. And we're like, okay, 7:00 in the morning, it's there. The CDC is at the hospital. They're making sure that we've got everything we need. Then we got new instructions. Then we got, we got all of that. We knew we wanted to make sure that we took care of those frontline, as in, kind of first responders, if you will, emergency department in critical care, our COVID unit. We have COVID specialty units. Those places where you might perceive that you have more exposure. But for me, I know what kinds of personnel go in and out of an ER. So for me, yes, it's the nurses, it's the doctors. It's EVS, it's lab, it's ID, it's our police officers. I mean, I needed to make sure that we have the ability to offer it for those who want it. It is, it's completely voluntary. So, but for those who want it, we tried to build, and we're figuring this out real time. So we had to make sure that we were kind of making the offering where there were slots for people to come in and get that vaccine. So every day that goes by, we get a little bit more information. Today we found out that next shipment is coming. So they want us to use all 725 for the first dose. The next shipment, first dose, third shipment, first dose. As you know, the second dose is in 21 days. So they're trying to get enough of an allotment to cover every single person that works in the hospital, all of our physicians, medical students, and residents as well. Everybody in my house. So we have a process where we're getting those vaccines to those who want it, and then we're getting that next set. So if I could share,
please do.
We did a small poll right when we found out we were going to be one of the hub hospitals and it was coming soon. 70% of the people that we asked in our hospital said they didn't want it. Or they wanted to delay. Now, that goes in step with some data that I saw today. About 68% of healthcare providers either don't want it at all or don't want it now. So we started a campaign. Every day we send out questions and answers, and then I personally am answering, with the help of my infectious disease doctor, I am personally answer email questions that our employees have, because I want you to be as informed as possible so that you can make a knowledgeable decision. So they were asking things. I'm nursing my baby. Can I get it? I'm this age. Can I get it? Should I take it if I'm, you know? And so information was everything. And so we decided to go ahead. Let's get this vaccine out. Get it to those first persons as much as possible. Now it's tricky. There are 5 doses per vial. They have to be thawed. And so if somebody doesn't show up in their slot, we have people on standby. All right, you're going to get it so that we can use every single vial. It's a lot of work. My team is just amazing. And so it's a labor of love to get this out to anybody who wants it.
So here's another question about the process. So you received your injection this week. You're the CEO of the hospital. You know, you're the big, uh-huh. you're the big kahuna, but uh-huh. for, you know, some of those, you know, healthcare, you know, workers who don't have the Anita Jenkins status, but who still got the shot, what happens on day 21, do you get an email? Do they come and get you? How does that work?
So, I'm just one of the team, but okay. So, yes, our employee health is managing this. We have a list. We have a tracking. Day of, there's a lot of information. You, of course, get an information sheet. You fill out a form to make sure that, you understand that what you have done with this vaccine. And then you get a card that's a reminder card, and we're going to call and give a reminder call and make sure that you know that your 21 days is here. And so we are reminding it just like we do with any other appointment type status for any of our employee health issues. So yep, we plan on tracking they're going to track me down like the dog I am, make sure I get that second dose. May I say this?
Yes.
I want to be super transparent to our listening audience. You do have the chance of having a little bit of a fever, a little bit of aches, a little bit of fatigue, and a sore arm. I had none of those, a little bit of a sore arm, but they say you have to watch out for it on that second dose as well. And so we want to be informed about that. But they say on that second dose, if it happens at all, it's only 24 hours. I'll take 24 hours of discomfort knowing that I am just way more protected from getting the dreaded disease, COVID-19.
So, Lieutenant Jackson, how is your arm feeling, and how are you feeling overall?
To be very honest, of course, I'm feeling good. After I left, it was a pinch going in, and after I left, I think I had a little bit of pain at the site. And I came straight to work, and I'm still here, but I'm feeling fine. No effects.
Because let's be honest, you know, flu vaccines, they hurt. I mean, let's be really clear. I come from a flu vaccine family. I think I've missed a flu vaccine twice in my adult life. When it's ready, I am so there. Mm-hmm. But it's uncomfortable, but not as uncomfortable as having the flu. Or by extension, at least for
me,
getting pneumonia, which has happened to me when I've not done it. But a friend of mine, and I wanted to ask you about this, a friend of mine who is one of those traveling nurses, mm-hmm. California, Chicago, and is from the DMV, she said that she had concerns about getting it because when she had severe allergic reactions to the flu years ago, and she told me that her physician said, don't get the flu vaccine because of her allergic reaction. How do you address those kinds of things, Anita, for people who, you know, who otherwise may not have a problem with it but are concerned about more severe allergic reactions? There were two in Alaska today, and one of them somewhat severe.
So we are prepared for that. Our allergy specialist, Dr. Reese, specially trained our team to make sure that they understood what to look for. You are required after you get the shot, you sit down in the corner for about 15 minutes so that we can make sure you're okay. We also keep an EpiPen and Benadryl on site in our COVID vaccine room just in case anything happens. Let's be clear, there are people who can't eat a blueberry without that type of reaction, or they can't eat certain foods or touch certain foods or put fabric softener in their dryer, for instance, and because they're allergic to them. So allergies happen. Allergies happen with all kinds of drugs. There are people who can't take Tylenol, but they can take aspirin. And so, you know, I'm not quite sure that it's fair to modern science that somebody would be allergic to a vaccine. It happens.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do moving forward, Lieutenant, as you move through this process? You said you're on the job right now. And
yes.
But it seems to me that now you have another job. I mean, one could argue that you know, short of Chief Donnelly, you are, you know, the kind of the face of COVID-19 vaccine, short of Dr. Nesbitt as well, but she also received a shot today.
Yes, it's a lot. Let me say that, because this was not the intention. I simply got a phone call to, would you get this vaccination? And I definitely had to think about it. And it was one of my chiefs who gave the phone call, and I definitely had to tell her, I need some time.
She also told I need some time.
As much time as you need. So, you know, it's the feelings are unexplainable. I'm just hoping to make a difference and a change. Yes. Chief Donnelly has been awesome through this experience, and he's someone that had, you know, he was COVID positive. He got COVID.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That all in itself, and then be able to come back and tell that story. I'm thankful that I have a chief that's so supportive. You know, you mentioned Dr. Nesbitt. She is awesome. Just watching her and her responses, her knowledge, her education, you know, same thing with our mayor. You know, Mayor Bowser has been very supportive. I'm very grateful and thankful to her. I think it's just important at this point for me, because they have invited me to do this and be a part of this, the COVID hopefully change, is just to be transparent. You know, I have to be totally transparent and be honest. And if you could see, you know, the light through me to say, hey, I think this is okay. Let's try it. Let's get it. If it's going to save, you know, just one or two people, and let's multiply those numbers, you know, it's worth it. It's so worth it. Everyone is different. I get it. Feelings, it's a big fight. It's a challenge.
Yep.
To get through to some individuals, but we just have to keep pushing, and hopefully this time next year, it'll never be normal, but we'll have some type of normalcy. We just need it. Our kids need it. Our babies need to get back outside and play with their friends. you know, yeah. education. Our babies are suffering.
Yeah.
You know, they are. It's sad to see. So we have to get back to some type of normalcy. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I want, and which is another part of me trying to just move forward.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. Believe me, your mind plays tricks on you. I'm like, do I have a headache? Am I feeling okay? You know, I'm sitting at my desk at my computer like, okay, am I good? Is that? I'm okay.
I love it.
Okay, hours have passed. You know, that was this morning. I'm getting ready to leave. So I'm just grateful. And whatever I can do moving forward, I just want to be transparent, be honest, and give as much information as I can. And that's it. You know, that's all I can do is just keep praying.
Lieutenant, I wanted to ask you, did you speak to your father today after you received the injection?
Yes.
What did he say?
I called him, but I know sometimes he's preoccupied, and that's to be expected. So we have a very strong bond. So I'm sure when I get home, he's going to have the light on waiting for me. So I already know what our conversation is going to be. So, and I've been busy today, so yeah. We'll have a conversation.
I would love to be, you know, fly on the wall to hear that conversation because I'm
that
sure
that is my heart.
Yeah, I've figured that out seeing you in these press conferences. You keep talking about him, and I just think that is so wonderful. I'm sure he's proud of you.
Yeah, he is. Very much so. Very much so. He did it. I owe it to him. Like I said, you know, he's raised me since I was five. So, and that's been all, you know, it's just been me and him. So. I
always am. Yeah. Anita, moving forward now, not only for you personally, but for Howard University Hospital, yeah. because as I said in the very beginning, this is an historic week. This is an historic week not only for Black and Brown people. It is an historic week for Howard University Hospital. And as we move out of this, slowly move out of this pandemic, what do you see as the role for the hospital moving forward in dealing with this pandemic?
You know, I never considered myself like the ambassador lieutenant that she is. We are almost being called to be a beacon. Howard University Hospital or Howard University, they have such a name. And also the opportunity among HBCUs, among Black and Brown people, hubs of people of color, or medical science, or women of color, or men of distinction like Mr. Dunlap. I mean, what an opportunity for us to keep telling the story of good health and healthful living. You know, I mean, it took us a minute to even convince Black and Brown men to wear masks because you couldn't be able to wear masks because the police would target you. And so I don't know if you remember that. When this first started,
I do remember.
Black men were like, I'm not going to walk around with a mask on. So we always have had to just pull a little bit further to get us into safety and good health. And so as we do this, maybe we will stop seeing such clumps of, there was a time when we were really seeing the deaths almost 2 to 3 times more than white people among Black people. And it was, you know, when we were seeing those deaths in our ICUs at Howard, it was just intolerable. We were sending our pastors up to the floor to help the nurses. Just, it was not good. So like you said, maybe a year from now, this is what we want to be. We want to say, this is how we're living differently. And then Howard University Hospital, we want to be a beacon of quality healthcare so that people can look to healthcare to say, yes, I trust you.
Yeah.
Yes, I trust you, and I'll do this differently, and I'll do that differently, and I'll take care of myself differently, and I'll get regular checkups differently. You have to earn that trust, and that's what we're doing today, but we're earning it by saying, I do believe that there's a way for us to get away from COVID-19. And therefore, Mr. Dunlap, the lieutenant, and myself, we'll put our arm out and we'll take that shot first. You can watch us and see that we're okay.
Real quick.
That's what I think.
The Moderna vaccine received the independent panel approval late this afternoon. We could see full approval by the FDA tonight or tomorrow.
Yep.
Howard University Hospital also get that. How will that work? It's different. It needs to be cold, but not as cold as the Pfizer vaccine. Do you have any idea about what the process will be for the Moderna vaccine, if it's approved?
Right now, most healthcare providers and first responders are getting the Pfizer vaccine because the Pfizer vaccine, we can handle the complexities of how it needs to be stored and managed. They're both 95% protective.
Right.
And so it's okay. I also have proper storage and readiness for the Moderna. But they're giving us the Pfizer. We'll take what we can. Now, the thing about it is, if you get Pfizer the first shot, you must get a Pfizer second shot.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we're getting all three of our doses, almost all that we need, all Pfizer. So we're going to stick with Pfizer. But if we have to manage Moderna and you know, get the last few and take somebody else, then it would be a different process. But we're ready. We'll take care of that as well. So that's why for the Moderna, that's what they want to use for the average citizen. So that CVS or so at a doctor's office, is, you know, so that they can manage them because all they need is regular refrigeration. So that's why the rollout of Moderna makes so much sense for the average person.
Well, I want to thank you, Anita Jenkins, for spending some time with you. It's always good to talk to you.
I'm honored.
And know that you are, you know, are at the helm of Howard University Hospital. Lieutenant Keisha Jackson, I salute you. So proud of you. I really, really am. And
I can't wait to meet her in person. My goodness.
So and also, much. I love the positive support. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, we support you. Also, we want to thank Roy Dunlap for participating in the conversation as well. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, December 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, time for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.